Flying 12 from the Flying series. If you're looking for the supreme resurrection of a passion, try finding it in a vision's flare. Volcano's lava erupting from Earth's womb. Battle cry, heroic exodus. Breaking all boundaries, achieving the impossible. Invisible and visible entities striving to rise above life and death. Above narrow values, widening narrow paradises. Wider and wider along the protean journey. Monad, dyad, antithesis, and new synthesis. From each center, expanding and fulfilling discovery and power. If you are looking for the finest quality of a creation, try finding it in a divine spark. Immortality's rays enlightening mortals' minds. Etheric, astric bodies, everlasting vitality. Outgrowing every ugliness, guided by beauty. Thoughts, words, arts, giving birth to glorious civilizations. Challenging horizons, freeing from disillusions. Freer and freer along the expansion of Genesis. Logic, principles, discipline, and equals. Wisdom constructing justice, wholeness, and completion. If you are looking for the sweet manifestation of a miracle, try finding it in the human heart flame. Vibrations as rhymes synchronizing with universe's euphony. Endless cycles of sorrow and joy. Hope's momentum waning and flaxing. Waterfalls of emotions plunging down the steep cliffs of our existence. Light brightening through darkness. Brighter and brighter along our sacred friendships. Seasons, leaves, flowers, and patterns. Warding off evil, regenerating, harmonizing, strength and immunity. If you are looking for the archetype of a deity, try finding it in the human soul flame. Earth's devotion, endlessly rotating sun's source. The great absolute energy, propeller of all life. Whirlpooling through humans and stars. Seas of sunlight, uniting with skies of fire. Stellar symbols heightening cosmic chants. Higher and higher along the mystic path. Water, earth, air, fire, and ideas. Worlds and heavens dividing and uniting in divine proportions. If you are looking for the magical journey of a flight, try finding it in an inner euphoria. Mystical self-revelations taking us up to Empyrean worlds. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alexander. Next up, we have Catherine Ronan.
Jailbird, you permit me to walk your ramparts, but I want to descend to your old town, crawl with womanhood all over the cobbled streets, lick your walls. Time to wander into that vintage shop, inhale your memory of perfume, dab scent on my pulsing wrists, finger the silk scarves of your fragrant past. I sip brandy in walled bars, interrogate ghosts of their half-loves, slink down alleys with stray cats, mute old. I mean in your medieval cathedral, light every single waxed candle. Take the keys from your belt, unlock the groaning gates, let my jail rush in.
Great. Next we have Ryan.
I know, I'm sorry. This is called Taking Apart Descartes. What is the mind that squats behind these primate eyes? Is it an ape in disguise? It swings among the strings that are hung and the springs which are strung twixt vision and tongue since I was young, flinging dung and yelling to everyone, cogito ergo sum. The point of awareness that anoints my consciousness is adeptly half-wit, but what exactly is it? This flashlight inside that desires to thrill ride down life's free will slide, all wide-eyed and wide astride the mind-body divide, till it's time to hide, afraid it'll be crucified, to anxiety tied, left high to die and identified on the wayside. What is this thing that can laugh and sing and cannot stop thinking even as it is sinking? From whence did it come? It can be senseless and dumb or nervously numb. But other times overcome the hurdles of life. Its curdles and strife, they're certainly rife, and we all know they hurt like a knife. Yet it can ponder and puzzle to get beyond the trouble. Is it just a knotted bundle of neurons in the prefrontal cortex of my cerebrum? Or is it from the Garden of Eden? Is it the fingerprint of a divine touch? Or merely instinct compiled in a clutch of a seemingly cognizant and aware personality that's not present or there, but is rather a sensory processing array grown sufficiently complex to say, I am, like Yahweh in the desert to Moses. Or is it no more than a deluded apotheosis of firing synapses and neural chemistry, inspiring mirages that there is a real me? Or blinking amalgam of glands in sync? I think, therefore I am, or I am, therefore I think.
Well, then we will go to the room and Daniel.
So I wrote this one last time I was in Dublin Airport, which was a while back. And I was in a different headspace there. But anyway, every time I go to Dublin Airport and I see that sign for swords, I always think it says S words. So, this is S words. Some S words slice deeper than others, but maybe it seems that way because I'm more sensitive than they are severe. Though I have the scars to show that something was close enough to stab, and I can recall the sting of skin breaking and the itch of the healing begging me to scratch. So I could feel it again, penitent. The silent sinner keeping secrets, the stigma that comes with self-doubt. When I can't recall if I'm to blame. Am I the saboteur or the sabotaged? Signals getting crossed between the synapses of sorrow and shame and shame and shame, skipping like an echo in a tunnel that never seems to end. Though there is that light, shining steadily, showing me the way. And sometimes I just want to scream, but I sit still. And I try to sound out syllables of simple spells, as if I could summon someone. But then, there you are, and you seem sincere. And if I sound scared or psychotic for a spin, It's just to say, seriously, I like you. And please, stay.
Thank you very much. Now I will forever think of S-words every time I hear the word design. We'll stay in the room. And is it Eilish?
Eilish,
my apologies. Eilish. Yeah.
Because this is recorded, I'm going to spell out my name just because you couldn't possibly guess the spelling of it, so bear with me. So just if anyone wants to find me, it's EIDHLISNBEIRNE, and then my Instagram is Eilish_burn, just so it's there. I don't breathe very well. This poem is kind of like that. And it's called Unspeakable. It dies again and again in my lungs, like an inescapable day that keeps repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and. Sometimes it feels like I may suffocate in my own. Try to breathe life into four concrete walls. Try to make them move like a wing beat. Try to have them ripple like a lake in response to anything. Try to encourage them to relax from a fist to an open palm. Try to tell them that a weapon raised overhead turns every silky ribbon of muscle to solid steel bars. Try, go on, give it a go. Did you notice how you end up screaming in a room no one else can enter because it exists only in you? Yesterday, I inspected my vagina in the mirror. With folds of skin pushed back like curtains, it looked as if I'd been stabbed right through. A raw and gaping, many are open wound. But it just looks like that. It isn't proof.
Will we go to Zoom now or stay in the room?
I'll stay in the room, I think.
Okay, so next up is Felix Oman.
Hello. This is a poem in three parts, and it is the first poem I ever wrote for the man who recently said yes when I asked him to marry me. So clearly it isn't. This is unofficial diagnosis. A dead night, a smothering silence, crack of thunder and boom of lightning in the sky far west. Great light shows that spin all sense of senselessness into a flurry, and what beauty these lights show. Sparks where no fire had yet seen daylight. Rainbows above mountains where drought had always lived. A glowing star descended upon the earth. Billions of places to visit, and yet it chose to come to me. A star is quite hot, you see. And the further in you go, the hotter it gets. Our sun starts at 5,800 degrees Celsius. But by the time you reach the center and have long since shriveled from the heat, you're at 15 million degrees. But you... your surface temperature must be at least twice that of the sun's core. I know you've had fever recently, but that's not what I mean. I simply want to point out the fact that you've blinded me with your beauty time and time again, and I wouldn't mind getting closer to your soul, even if it does mean I'll burn you crisp in the process. To be honest, I quite like crisps. And this is one star that I could never get tired of staring at. All right. Let me tell you, there's nothing in the world that takes my breath away quite so much as you, and I'm asthmatic. But you can keep that breath, store it in a jar on a shelf, or throw it away without a second glance. It's yours to do with as you please. You can let it breathe for you if you want. Part three. They say you can't say you have a condition or syndrome or illness without an official diagnosis. They say claiming to be autistic or disabled or etc. is unfair and untrue if a medical professional didn't die. Well, I never claimed to be alive until you diagnosed me with a serious case of existence. And I don't think you're a doctor, but by fuck, if this isn't living, then I don't know what is. If I need a diagnosis to exist, then please keep renewing my prescription, because I don't think I can go back to being normal after living in a world with you. You've already stolen my breath and blinded my soul, so please don't let me stop existing.
Thank you so much, and congratulations. Great. So now we'll hop on Zoom, and Fungo, it is
true. Hello again, everybody. Happy to be here. I've got a fresh poem. Not too fresh, but still fresh. And it has a bit of a backstory to it. So when I first came to Sierra Leone, I discovered that most people drink their water from these plastic sachets. That's a topic for another day, because the plastic is one use. They get this water from those vans that go around selling the water. So these vans are to get people's attention. They've recorded this thing that is a loop. And in my community, they usually sell the water right outside my gate. And really, there isn't anything I can do much about it. They have this thing recorded, and it's very annoying. During the first days in Sierra Leone, it was really annoying me. And it went like, "Wata, wata, wata, you don't buy you wata, thank you, God bless you." So every morning at 6, like you had this megaphone that was repeating this, until I told myself, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to write about it. So I wrote this poem. Wata, 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 drink your wata, it won't kill you. Like alcohol. Water, water, water. Drink your water. It won't kill you like alcohol. Wine, beer, and all things alcohol. You don't drink that shit. You sell it. Yet here I am on my third bottle of gin. I'm still standing. 106.88 is the bill, and I'm still spending, because my problems are 2000 BC big. So I drown them, get lit with the gang gang, frying our livers. We do not need them. We live for the moment. Choo-choo smoking like it's 1787. William Reynolds would be proud of us. Rewind and start again. Wine, beer, and all things alcohol. They are making me millions, so why don't you enjoy the Super Bowl with the Budweiser, connect with your friends over a castle, peace on your marriage after a mood sick war. Those companies should pay me to name drop them. See, I am a pendulum in the making, unlike their bottle piece. I am not toxic. I do not promise joy in the weekend. With me, it's daily, hourly, and you don't need to drink me. Just read or listen. I can make you a glitch in the system without a red pill. Just that little red book, a product of this red fire that bends at the base of my spinal cord. Peace.
Something that we can relate to as we drink. Thank you. That was great. Okay, we're going to stay in the room now. And next up is Simple.
Well, I was tempted to to read one of my Schramm translations, but Maurice Scully has left. He's actually kind of, you know, at the root of what might be a slight continuation of the futurist expressionist branches that made it to Ireland. So he's one of the people in my book at the very end of the essay. Anyway, I'm not going to do a translation now. I'm just going to do a piece that's very recently workshopped. And I hope it's better now. The erosion of faith. Like fools, we exchange the exuberance of light for darkness as we pluck the stars for fortune to hoard them in our homes. The tabernacle of our hearts is left void, open, gaping after the remains of the sacred have ruthlessly been ripped out. We tumble in awkward flight, flailing our wings to stop falling as the dark with groping hands tries hard to drag us back down. Judgmental secular frowns on everything sacred and bright have for long brought about the erosion of a true faith. We seek a belief that is new, a spiritual direction that's truer. Come make the brightness grow and release the stars from home to fill the tabernacle of our hearts with the light of new sacred relics and the infinite flow of our days with a rhythm of new rites.
Thank you very much, Sue. Next up is Cedric Behan.
So I was recently in Berlin just for 24 hours, just about, and I used that time basically to walk around and see what most people would probably see the world. And that inspired a piece here. I would probably work on it more, but that's the first draft. Summer that. Summer has officially ended. But the sun is still up and burning. It's hot. The world around these tones of gray and faded colors. The sight of deep, deep rooted depression with a grip on millions of brains running their subconscious collective minds. Even the high rise stick out like the skin tags of scarring tissue. It's a hard sight to unsee, and I'm barely in. With a lengthy walk along the veins of this city, eventually the wound appears. The assault have ended decades ago, but the blade is still in, sticking out, showing the divide. I feel lucky to have been spared from the blood and thunder that the war represents. I heard of the clash long after the strikes. The hatred and resentment excised, only to be replaced by greed disguised as a cure to heal a nation. How many bodies apart? How many summers split? With for only common experience the heat and the occasional storms. The claps and the losses. I ponder, worry, wonder, feeling more human than ever. This is a memory that came to me through misery. It's not mine. I cannot afford to forget it. Because it is November now, and it's hot. The next year will be hotter, and with the warmth, eventually will come the thunder. How far will I be from the thunder strike this time?
Oh, thanks very much, Cedric. That's really great. We will stay in the room now, and we'll step into Michelle Villette.
things for your homes. What's up? You always brushed your teeth with the hot tap. I prefer the cold. I winced at bristles getting under loosened gums. At the attic sink, we'd froth, playing thermostat tennis, always flinching when I'd reach to turn the temperature down, when you threatened to spit on me. Don't make me laugh through the mirror with a lukewarm pool on my mouth, or it'll leave drippy milk stains all on the belly of your shirt. Now a big bowl and stiffer brush cause bleeding, fingers spatting on the bowl beneath me. I scrub and oust my motherly slip, cutting your bread and rocking you to sleep. I gag and purge eternal dreams of your bravery. I rake the tongue that told you everything. Thank you.
Okay, next up, we might jump on Zoom if Seamus Harrington is ready to go.
Okay, thank you very much. Hey Morris, long time no see. This is a little bit late, but it's that time of the year again. Well, it was 2 weeks ago. This is called jamming. Snare drums rattling, trombone zoom, tenor sax screaming, double bass boom, guitars twanging from electric heights, chimes still tinkle to muted lights, silver flutes tootle, percussions brush, clarinets warble to alto sax gush, trumpet calling, tambourines jing, hi-hat lifting to cowbells ring, the sirens blare, notes so shrill, harmonicas bleat to whistles trill. Banjos rat-a-tat will curtly reply to conch shell echo of piccolo high. Xylophones hit, but tubas rude, bongos rhythm get in the mood. Keyboards persisting, notes so brash, French horns burping, cymbals crash. Oboes blending as fiddles in sync give jiving cats no time to think. Baby, that's jazz.
Thank you. It was a smooth cast. Great. Thanks, Seamus. Next up is Patricia Walsh.
Hi there. This is called a pressurized container. Walking through windows, it's into there. Near summer's reckoning on the perfect track. Cautiously surmising the exit station. Recycled scenarios wumble to another purpose. Watching rare flowers be plucked and gone. Parking recriminations and evicted honesty. Sorted cover versions keeping the massive sweet. Some induced debt runs through the massive. The mild thunderstorm rules in the shadow end. One extra commandment loved over once. It's not brilliant exercise. Rising over fault, that midday gave me over. Assaulted sweet things, the best of a bad lot. Consistent God talk exposing the divisions. Demon possessed are just another bad joke. The closest to alcohol on a perfected day. The singular cold suffered through bedtime. Cracking open skulls to gather information. The hassle free existence is all there is hope for. Exercise for sound, the bigger the call out. Each one's own business ending too well. Finish with sleep, the costume jewelry theme, overdress for purpose, or an instant favour. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Patricia.
And next up is Jim Crickers. So this is when, like, you're stuck in a corner and someone is going on and on and on and questioning your existence.
When you're left.
And it's called An Ode to Those Who Ramble. It's not really an ode. You speak in endless symphonies. I'm looking through opera binoculars because I'm trying to find the punchline. I pretend to understand and clap my hands as you, obstinato in your one-man show. Words are flying it from your mouth and stacking upon themselves into an ever-growing emporium. A great dome of glass I stand in, marveling at the size of your voice. I'm truly in awe that you're still going. Where do you get all the sentences from? You are a magician pulling words out of a magic hat. I have been in the audience so long, I'm covered in cobwebs. I chime in with conversation changes of my own, but you take them hostage and roam into everything you've ever known about them until they have all been torn along the ground. You have ruined everything I love. It is 17 minutes since I have spoken. I'm swimming in words and he doesn't notice the spiraling existential nausea I'm in. I'm disassociating and leaving behind this blind and deaf man to prattle on to a room of empty chairs. It's not like I'm needed here.
Thanks,
Jim. Great. Next up is Callum Holden. How are you guys? Geez, I'm glad I went just after Jim, not before, because I'm about to do a really fucking long one. on that note, can I do a long one? About 7 minutes? Would that be okay? Sweet. So I'm working on a project at the moment that's retelling the Book of Invasions. It's a bit of crack. These are mental stories. This one is chapter 2. So we've already gone through Kessler, who's the first person in Ireland. She was the granddaughter of Noah, or so it looks. But I might be a bit furious. This is Fintan. Fintan is a mental story. Jesus, it's wild. And I had a lot of crack already. I am Fintan, whose soul is Ireland's memory. She has kept me to her bosom through ages beyond measure. My spirit is caught in her shape. I know her as the hare in the bracken. I know her as salmon in the stream. I know her as a hind in the forest. I know her as a hawk shrieking on the wind, a wolf in the full stretch of chase. I know her as none other ever shall. I am transformation's master, a change with the tides, the comings and goings of the moon and the sky. I know not death. I know only to remember. I live so that others may die, that they may forget all that they learn in this world as they pass to the next. The fair flame am I, Finn Tinna, beloved of women and war chiefs alike. To Ireland I voyaged with Kessar, Sperban, and Cushla, his Kishta Mastora. I will tell you how we came. I will recall it all for you. It is my story. It is the story of Ireland. We left my aged grandfather-in-law, that flood-wandering zookeeper, to wander in the land of Eden's twin rivers. They say Kessar raised an idol in Egypt then. This is true. It is false also. She walked with the earth, communed with the waters themselves, there in the land that is ruled by water's will. For it is our way that all things have wise souls, a part of the living divine whole. They told her what was coming as surely as a shepherd reads the sky, as I tell you what has been. We were many years sailing before we landed at Bantry. By North Africa we went, into Spain and Gaul. Our journeys were so many it would delay my recount to relay them all. We made our way to Ireland through much travail. Ladra the sailor was pierced through the thigh with a broken oar at Bantry and died, leaving Beth and I to divide the 50 women between us. Beth was an old man, retrieved from Noah himself, was not fit for the role of stud. Many times have I told the story of the takings of these lands, and here I preach the value of moderation in all things, for it was a death of excess that came to Beth. Kessler was my treasure, a river to me of love and of joy. I've lived forever, none could compare. Yet in truth, I was not pulled from her settle by force, at least not at first. I left quietly, the darkness when the fire was low, and what was needful was not hateful to me. The breaking sun found me laying in strange beds, sleeping late into the day. It is true that one's peace may last until another's tears. When I returned to my love, she would not meet my eye, even to scorn me. She was sorrow and water, sound thin tinna, the white fire, and her grief ran deep and cold through my heart. I abandoned the others, retreated to her hearth. This was a fatal mistake. We thought about one of the ways that these stories are crazy, just like, this is how it happens. This is what the notes wrote down like. We thought about one of the waves themselves in Ireland. Instead, we stirred up another force, madness. A desperation went through the women of Kessler. A fierce lunacy gripped them, and they laid siege on me in the arms of my love. They chased me from her. I ran from them. The length of Ireland we went, and such a sight as us was never seen before or since. Fintan the magician hurtling through the land with 50 heat-crazed women hard on his tail. I led them roughshod through the country, over hills and rivers, past the great sea cliffs of Moher, where falcons wheeled off their nesting puffins. To Ferriter's Cove, with the women tearing at my heels like hounds, through Scotia's Glen, where an age yet to come they would lay to rest the Pharaoh's daughter. By Cashel we went, and it was but a rock, my pursuers nearly had me upon it. I slipped open my brooch and I fall over my cloak as I fled. To Brown Coolin next, where bellowing across the valley to each other were enormous deer with antlers that like the cross of two tall men, primeval creatures that must all have drowned in the flood. Ireland herself was different then. She had no company but her own since the day of creation, and heaved with wild and wet, fertile living breath. Erin was as covered in trees as a pheasant is with feathers. The women were a skilled pursuit. If I ran upstream, they had my scent. If I went backwards through the mud, they saw through my deceit. If I went to the treetops, they were behind me like so many squirrels, mad with chase. I feared for my life and limb and little Fintan. I led them past Ben Bolden, through the Cade of Fields and down to Conn. When we met the River Shannon, my clothes were tattered, my body exhausted and my spirit weak. I could not survive a final stand. Alba and Aspa I saw coming for me, Inker and Dog before them, the pack behind, tearing at their own garments, anticipating my capture. I took a running leap and cleared the bank of the river in a bound. In desperation, I called out to high magic, and mid-air I transformed into a great silver salmon, slipping under the water as it away, leaving the howling troop half bare behind me in the rushes. Down the river I went, down the thundering Shannon, a silver streak at one with water. We finish her out. I traversed the river in a day. Well, it's a nice place to leave it, actually, I feel. Like Fintan, he's a fish now. That's how he deals with his problem. It's a diplomatic, you know? You know what, we'll leave Fintan there. There is more to the story. I'll be putting these online at some point, but there's not too much. We'll leave Fintan to another work. Thanks, guys.
Inspired that Ling said, you know, where the man was. All the women were chasing him. You should do an
audiobook, Al. Your voice is perfect for stories. Yeah. Yeah. You broke the space-time continuum and you came from all Ireland to deliver this lovely story. So thank you. Next up is Margaret O'Regan.
This one, though, I called it nostalgia. It's about a moment in time now, and I was imagining looking back at it in about 10 years' time. So it's nostalgia. From the top deck, the bus passes. My house then, I see the top window. Oh, the flashes of memory. Still, you behind. Me looking out at the bus, passing bus, just like now, reversed in space and time. I'm transported back, feeling you, feeling me.
Next up is Phil's plan.
Yeah. Others can give you moon dust, the cosmic garden in the palm of your hands, brief or forever. Yes, I am trying. I have no idea what I am doing. There is no gravity to this game. It is cold. The physics give some order. Sometimes I don't want to swim with tide, but drown. Sink into your breast and cry. Feel like the luckiest star. I found harmony in one significant other, a mirror of intimacy transaction. It seems it's reality of others, their ecstasy, where they are right, and I dwell in dreams. Clouded. Sorry that others can give you moon dust. You are better off. Tired, I stop swimming, and poems end. Thank you.
Next up we have Maria Wood.
This is not a happy poem. It was Remembrance Sunday recently, and some years ago I was watching lots of documentaries about the First World War and how many Irish, there was loads of Irish people there, not just British. And I just thought how terrible it was. And then, of course, Ukraine has happened. And I know it's different imagery, but it's still horrific. Remember, baby-faced young lads whose cheeks had not yet encountered a razor and seldom a woman's flesh, now frowned and crumpled in pain, fear, and disgust. Their senses harvesting an evil beyond measure. Rats in their hundreds feasted on human flesh, grew to the size of cats, whilst the stench of human defecation and decay caused fresh vomit to temporarily colour the slimy, bloody black mud. More vermin sped to that hot takeaway. Human cargo sent over the top to gain a yard or two of no man's land. For what? For what? Spared them the ridicule of receiving a white feather. Such shame would encompass the whole family. For king and country, you soiled your trousers, lost limbs, pieces of your face, got gassed, half starved, infested with lice, neglected of fundamental creature comforts, never ever to be the same again. If the bullets, shrapnel, or gas didn't get you, Spanish flu might. Was there really a God? Only God knows.
Next up, we have Mo Panic.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Here's a poem about death camp survivors. And I was in Israel in 2003, I watched this poem. We, the rest of the world, stood by and watched the smoke from Auschwitz. The movie town news showed the walking dead, but we turned them away. Only a handful allowed in the land of the brave and the free, and the home of the free. But the braves were held in reservations. We, the rest of the world, looked away as the empire gave away the stolen land and left. We armed the death camp survivors, and they in turn erected their own barbed wire. We blessed the new state and never wondered how long it would take till the new camp festered and exploded like the rockets over Gaza. When towers came crashing down, we wondered who would hate us enough to destroy our way of life. We sought the weapons of mass destruction, while the mass destruction of our people went unnoticed. Like the smoke from Auschwitz, we thought it would go away.
Is there anybody else online who would like to do more? Is there anybody else in the room?
Yeah. All right. I'll keep it simple because I'm a little bit drunk.
Simply drunk.
This is called Eventually Nothing. I will rest my little head on your breast, the final hour ere I die. The colours in my mind, the grey clouds passing by. Between the two, I know of nothing, I confess. I rest my head on your lap, the minutes, the seconds, the eventual nothing. Thank you.
I think Phil might have a poem. Do you want to ask him?
Phil online might have a poem.
He just appeared there briefly.
Oh, hi. I wasn't planning it, but I'll try a short one. It's called Drifters. We are drifters, shifting in shadows of doubt, lost in a landscape of half-withered thought. We talk to everyone and no one. We argue with ourselves about how we got here and why. We fantasize our lives into what we are not, because we do not know what we are. It feels good in the moment, until the moment passes, and we are adrift again, in the unsettled space between our state of being and how it will end. That's the end. Thank you.
Anybody else in the room?
Yeah. People are doing stuff drunk. I guess I don't have an excuse. I haven't done this one in public, so we'll see. I can only be boisterous, only be boisterous, using my voice when I used to be voiceless, choosing a choice when I used to be choiceless, and I'm still reeling from feeling the full weight of the world, for Atlas shrugging the globe as he did Heracles, saying, here, you hoist this. And respect to those whose words are measured and exacted, bedecked in fine garments, the treasured trappings of true rap kings. And here I thought I was so clever, spending my days crafting my wax wings. But the sun's beams proved to be forever too taxing, and it was sick and strange to smell the tang of stricken flames, and far below I could see the swell of sea spray splashing and crashing. And just when tight reins to grasp were what I needed most, on my right passed a chariot driven by Helios. And it goes like this, a pseudo Icarus. Yes, the rush was fun as my fingertips brushed the sun, yet I was almost undone by the subsequent plunge. And I'm just a sunstroked dumb bloke, but with one hope. When I'm done, they'll never say anything I wrote was wrote or note. And you can wax poetic, painting pictures too vast for those who don't get it. But Fisher can also wane poetic, knowing the supposed pain from strictures for structure until you became prophetic. For a freelance artist, small talk can feel like jousting. A lance to the chest is often felt with the inevitable question, what do you do yourself? I get tongue-tied. Consider lying, but before there's time, the truth spills out. I'm a writer. The word hovers like a baby bird with Margaret. I'm going to rejig that because I couldn't. Okay. For a freelance artist, small talk can feel like jousting. A lance to the chest is often felt with the inevitable question, what do you do yourself? I get tongue-tied. Consider lying, but before there's time, the truth spills out. I'm a writer. The word hovers like a baby bird that's lost its mother. Oh, my inquisitor exclaims. Mentally, I put on my chainmail helmet and breastplate to protect my fragile ego. Here we go. Is that your job? Like, this grilling is like a crusade. Now I must plead my case. I do write every day, but in the eyes of, say, a bank manager, I'm only a sort of kind of sometimes writer, more of a shopkeeper, barista, teacher, basically just a drifter. But those things are just what I do, sometimes. They're not how I identify. I'll need to bide more time before giving a reply. Sorry, what was the question? They repeat it. They are relentless. Like a bloodhound sniffing a bone, Rilke proposed for artists to search their deepest wells, then ask themselves in the middle of the night, must I write? If the answer is a resounding yes, then you are a true artist, and you must take that destiny and bear it, its burden and its greatness, without ever asking what recompense might come from outside. So yes, in the eyes of Raina Maria Rilke, and in my personal opinion, I am a writer. I shout for some reason. Too loud and too bold, I can tell by their tone they are skeptical. I bet they think I'm delusional or entitled, that I should do something more worthwhile,
not spend an inordinate amount of time rhyming and googling synonyms when I could be out rescuing children or something. You're probably right. I'm not even that productive. Not like all those other more writery writers who are obviously much, much better, smarter, more charismatic, more attractive. Wait, how is that important? I don't know, but I'm starting to panic and I just want to go home. And why must we disclose our income and life's goals upon first meeting? It's rude and narcissistic. In fact, it's twisted. No, it's sick. It's... Hold on. This person is only making conversation. They don't know your frustration. That because art is seen as frivolous to some, you've got a dose of imposter syndrome paired with an inferiority complex because of how we assess success. But all of that is allowed to address in a few seconds of small chat. So just relax, stop projecting, and answer the goddamn question. Oh, they're gone. It's taken too long to respond. Jeez, I haven't done that in a while, Rob. I'll have to go to my files at home to pull that out. But I may as well, if you do want to see more poems by me and Jim Pickard and everybody else competing in All Ireland Slam. Well, I'm not competing, I'm just performing. No, because I won last time.